Okay. Welcome to the Feel Great podcast.
Today I'm chatting to a fantastic woman called Jessica Chivers. She is a coaching psychologist and author of Mother's Work. And I can say she's fantastic because I found her to be a massive support to me at various stages of my career, and she totally gets it. Today I'm talking to Jessica about important topics like flexible working, setting boundaries, and the work that her company does, helping people who have been away from work on extended leave, whether that be maternity or bereavement or sabbatical. I wanted to ask Jessica a bit more about her company, The Talent Keepers Specialists, and what exactly they do.
Thank you for having me, Emmy. Yeah, so The Talent Keepers Specialists has been going 6 years now, and we work with a variety of very well-known businesses. I don't know whether I should name them or not.
And
the work that we're... Oh, okay. Well, let's name check some of them. So BlackRock, ITV, the CIPD, Barton & Wilmore, Housebell, Cisco, we could go on. These are businesses who are really cognizant of the fact that when people are preparing for or coming back from extended leave, that they are big career transitions, and those businesses want to help make those transitions as easy as possible because they want to keep those people and they want them to come back and do more great work and to carry on progressing. So we run workshops, we do executive coaching, we provide comms for businesses. So when there is reviewing their, say, parental leave guidance or policies, and they want some good wording and practical help, practical tools for employees, we might write that for them. And we're also doing increasingly a lot of work around winning the hearts and minds of, say, middle managers in particular, around agile working and flexibility and how to move to more outcome-focused teams. And we absolutely love what we do, and we're a growing team. So, yeah, so thank you again for having me, Emmy.
That's amazing. And, you know, it's fantastic that there are these companies that are, you know, enlisting you and your services to help make these really positive changes. And obviously that's working. So these people that are coming back to work, do they feel much more supported? And is there any, you know, is there anything to show that, what's the feedback from them?
It's amazing, actually. So we're a small team of associates, and it's really brilliant when associates will, you know, ring me after a coaching session or email me and say, this is what we covered, and this person's feeling so much better about this, and they're going to do this and do that and do the other. There's a general feeling of, okay, I feel valued because my employer is investing in me. My employer is giving me this space and time to think and plan and strategize with a coach or in a workshop, and that's where that sense the value comes from. But they're discussing the things that are swishing around their heads that are sort of interference, and talking that stuff out means that you can sort it out and move on and do more great work. And of course, we're working with the line managers as well. So when we have one-to-ones or workshops with line managers, we're helping them to do and say the right thing and avoid the wrong things.
Yeah.
So that employee is having a better experience. So we talk about increased sense of connection to the organization, increased feelings of credibility and capability, and just wanting to go back and feeling good rather than panic stricken and stressed about what they are returning to. So the outcomes are great. We're talking about people getting faster acceleration in terms of the next step that they're taking. We're talking about businesses hanging on to people who were wavering and thinking, gosh, do I really want to go back to that culture? We're talking about improved engagement in the team. So there's all sorts of benefits for the individual and the line manager and the wider organization.
I think that's really fantastic. I know, you know, from my own experience and from talking to friends, you know, when you've had time out from work, it does feel quite a big thing going back, and, you know, you're worried and you've lost your confidence a bit, and, you know, maybe you've got the struggles, you know, the additional struggles that you've got children or what, you know, whatever, you've taken that break. So it's, I think I can see it must be amazing to have that support of the company when you go back. It's really, really nice that companies are doing that and that you're obviously helping. So I was reading one of your articles on LinkedIn about the role of flexible working and how employers, you know, should be talking about flexibility interviews and even mentioning in their job ads, and that, you know, flexible working is the key to retaining and attracting talent. So I just wanted to talk to you a bit more about that.
Yeah, really interesting. And it's interesting that we're talking about that today after me yesterday being with one of our new clients, Abcam, over in Cambridge. They did some work with London Business School, a researcher there, looking at the impact of flexible working on all sorts of different measures. And that study basically found that offering people flex and embracing flex leads to higher levels of engagement and well-being, and it's an attraction to retention tool. And my gripe is that organizations will often offer flex to people when they ask for it. And usually someone has had to really think a lot before they ask and sort of think, oh, well, I've built up all this goodwill, I've proven myself, okay, I'm going to ask for it now. And what that leads to is sometimes what we call trapped talent. So people staying in a role because they've accrued that those feelings of goodwill and they've proved themselves, and they think, oh, well, I can't go and knock on another employer's door because they're not advertising flex, or it might be really difficult, I have to take a full-time role before I can then change the way that I work. And we think that's just awful. So that blog post was talking about how employers need to talk about flex at the point of hiring. And it was something that came up at Abcam yesterday. And many of the senior leadership team in the room were talking about when they recruit and run job ads, they are talking about agile working being the way they do things and being very outcome focused. And we're happy to talk about different ways of working. And as soon as you do that, you send a signal, particularly to women, because it's disproportionately women that sort of are doing the stuff at home, whether it's caring for elderly relatives, for young children, that are seeking flex. So what you do when you talk about that on a job ad is you're saying to all those people, come and talk to us. We're the kind of place you want to come and be. So we think it's really important that employers talk about it. They put it on job adverts. They raise it in the first interview, because otherwise people can feel really fearful of mentioning it and think, oh, if I mention it, will people think I'm not committed?
Exactly. Yeah. That's really interesting. And actually, yeah, you mentioned, you know, that is that maybe the growing problematic, the problem with women, maybe like you almost have to stay in your job because you feel like you can't apply for something else 4 days a week. They're just not going to allow that. So that is, you know, I think that's a really key point. And tell me about this DAD B1 form that I've heard about, which is this, it's a petition that, is that started today?
So that went, we got the nod from the government last night that they were going to publish our petition. We're calling on people. We need 100,000 people to sign this so we get a debate in Parliament. But essentially, when a woman is pregnant, she gets what's called a MAT B1 form from her midwife. And this is a piece of paper, a legal document that she takes to her employer, and that triggers all sorts of internal processes in that organisation. But fundamentally, it kickstarts recognition that you're about to become a parent. And we're arguing that if we want to see more men take up shared parental leave, and there are a whole load of other blog posts I can signpost you about why we would want to do that, but decreasing the gender pay gap is one of them. If we want to increase the number of men taking shared parental leave, we probably want to do a few big key things, but those big key things are very expensive, like paying it better. But one simple thing that we can do is have what we're calling the DAD B1 form. So that's a piece of paper that the midwife would give to the woman to pass on to the father or the second parent, that they can then give to their employer to say, I'm becoming a parent. Obviously, they might choose not to give it in, but it's a way to kickstart the conversation, because so often fathers are not talking about this, or they might sort of tell the line manager, but it doesn't get back to HR. So shared parental leave isn't getting talked about, and other helpful policies or other ways of supporting that employee are not kicking in, because people don't know that they're about to go through this huge life transition. So that's why we're calling for people to sign our petition, hashtag DadB1 on Twitter, if you don't have a look on Instagram for that.
Definitely, I will do. So, you know, you say in one of your blog posts, is shared parental leave the route to workplace equality? And I was sort of reading about this, and obviously some companies doing some fantastic things. So I was just interested, what initiatives have you seen that you think are working really well with the companies that, you know, you're working with, or with companies that you're not working with, when it comes to shared parental leave? And
yeah, so to be fair, Emily, I don't think there's anyone who's getting it spot on, but you'll know from that blog post that I mentioned Aviva. So Aviva, the insurance company, are paying shared parental leave in the same way that they're paying maternity leave. So you get enhanced pay, I think, at Aviva for 6 months. So if you're an employee of Aviva, you're not just getting statutory maternity pay, you're getting full pay for 6 months, I think it is. And so they're offering the same thing to fathers. So then it becomes, well, if I can be off with my newborn baby for 6 months, I'm going to be paid. It's kind of a no-brainer. Equally, PwC. Yeah, PwC are doing, I think they might have a similar policy. It might be 6 months as well. And again, I know I was invited to PwC's internal network, which is very kind of them, their balance network, which is sort of exploring gender issues. And they had one earlier this year about shared parental leave, where they showed a film of PwC men talking about taking shared parental leave, and they have some senior men on in that. And that's a great internal resource that can be shared to encourage men to see, oh, there are other people in their business doing this, therefore it's okay for me to do it too. So I think telling stories and senior leaders being seen to be accessing resources and policies that we'd like to see trickle down the organisation really is absolutely key. But most organisations are finding the uptake of shared parental leave very, very low.
Right. Okay. Well, hopefully there's going to be, lots of developments in that space. And let's, hope that this petition gets 100,000 votes. Is that right? Did you say votes? Is that
signatures. Yeah, we need 100,000 signatures. Yeah.
So another thing that I was interested about is you said you've got a comeback Facebook group. So that's for people, a closed group for people returning to work after, a break, whether that be from having children or caring for the elderly or, whatever it might be. Can you tell me a bit more about that? What's the purpose of that group and what will people get out of it if they join?
Yeah, I'd love to tell you about that. So the Comeback Community Facebook group sits alongside a platform that we're launching at the end of this year called comebackcommunity.co.uk. And that's a resource for our clients that contains lots of audio clips, films, articles, download tools to support line managers and the colleague who's preparing for and coming back from extended leave. Now, we recognise that not every employer is as switched on as the client base that we're working with. So in addition to that platform, we've created a Comeback Community Facebook group, which is live now. And that's we're going to be sharing some of the content from the platform, videos, films, things to help people to prepare for their extended leave and make their return. So whether that is sabbatical, sick leave, care leave, bereavement, maternity, adoption, shared parental leave, any time that you're stepping away from your employer and then going back again, that is a really great resource. So find us on Facebook, Comeback Community. It is a closed group, so we're asking people just to say a little bit about their current situation and why this group's relevant to them, and put the right things in the boxes, and we'll welcome you into that group.
Oh, that's fantastic to have a resource like that. Thank you. And one of the things that...
And I should just add, Ebby, sorry, let me just add about the group, is that we think it's unique because there's so much out there for mums or parental leave. And the idea behind this group is it's about saying we recognise that there are lots and lots of similarities when you are preparing for any type of extended leave, whether you're a man, a woman, whether you're in your late 20s or your mid-50s or your late 60s. Things about, keeping in touch with stakeholders, having a performance review before you go, how to hand work over to a colleague, how to recruit your cover. These are common themes if you're going off on planned leave. And obviously with ill health, that's often not planned. But you're grappling with similar issues. So that's why we're inviting people to come and join this group and cross-pollinate ideas. It's not just about parents. It's not just about mothers. It's about that preparing for and coming back from extended leave.
Well, that sounds like a fantastic resource, and also it's free as well, isn't it? There's no cost to be involved in that, so that's great. One of the things about well-being in the workplace is obviously there's lots of things, initiatives that the companies can do. I think also there are things that, we can do ourselves to protect ourselves and to make sure that we are, fulfilled and healthy and well at work. And really interested to read your... I've obviously been doing lots of reading of all your blog posts, but about your boundaries And you've got a list of five fantastic boundaries, you know, such as no work before the children at school unless there's another adult there. And also a boundary around meal times where you like to eat together and you obviously don't have electronic devices. So can you just tell me a bit more about that and, you know, how you think setting boundaries or what other things are there that we can do to help ourselves when it comes to, you know, well-being with work?
Yeah, I think the thing with the boundaries is about recognising what can any of us do for ourselves? What do we recognise is in place when we're being at our very best? And I think it starts by working out. You know, when you have a good day, is stopping and thinking, why has today been so good? What have been the habits? And as a psychologist, I'm really interested in habits and intentions and focus and what people are doing when they are, you know, flourishing. So life is going well. And you've talked a little bit about some of the things that I put in place. And they are very simply almost like the rules of engagement for my life. It's kind of like when the day is going well, these are some of the things that I'm putting in place. And I think all of us can do that. And it's about setting your intention, and it's a being sort of disciplined as well. So for example, you know, we like to eat together as a family because we know that that's when, you know, information gets shared, and it's that sense of doing something together every day, not having my mobile phone switched on after 9 o'clock, you know, turn it off, have that hour's wind down before bed, away from a blue screen and away from things that might come into your inbox that all of a sudden your mind starts worrying over. So everybody's boundaries or the things that they do that make their life feel good would be different. So I encourage people to think about what is happening on a day when things are going really well, and then work out what are the key ingredients, because that's like your recipe for having more great days. And why wouldn't you do that?
That's fantastic. And I think you're so right. It's very tempting to look at your phone at 9 o'clock at night. But if you read something that's a bit not great, it can be really difficult to move on from that, can't it? And not sort of niggling away at you in the background. So fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's a really good point. Last of all, Jessica, my last question to you would be, for me, and this is just me personally, I've always felt that the team around me at work and, you know, my boss is something that would be really key to my, you know, well-being. I, you know, wanting to feel supported and, you know, like you're part of a team. So I just wondered, is there anything, I know you've worked for yourself for most of your career, but I know you had a short stint working as an employee. Was there anything that, did you have a particularly lovely boss, or was there anything that a boss or someone in your team did that was really supportive that sort of stayed with you forever?
Yeah, there is. So when I first started in corporate life, I was in the graduate scheme at Barclays in the city in London, and I had a boss called Laura Evans, and Laura was a bit of a trailblazer at the time because she got two children, and she worked 4 days a week, and she then, I think she might be working 3 days a week, can't quite remember, but she wasn't working full time and she was in a fairly senior role, and she did two of those days from home because it enabled her to, you know, have access to the kids and just to keep things on an even keel at home. So I think she was the main breadwinner at the time. And following in Laura's footsteps, I asked to go down to 4 days a week when I was just, I think I was 24 at the time, before I got married, I think 24, 25. And that was amazing. I mean, that wasn't done then. The only people that work less than full time, she's going, 2004, I think, 2005. This is going back a while. Were people that had children, you know, caring responsibilities. But she allowed me to get down to 4 days a week because I said, you know, I want to get a coaching qualification and I want to spend that 1 day a week focusing on my coaching. And then I actually started to do some coaching work on that day for an organisation called The Mind Gym, which is just absolutely fantastic and has been fantastic. Successful. And that was great. So that was really the beginning of me transitioning into starting my own business. And I think without Laura allowing me that 1 day a week, things would have been much more slow. And maybe she saw that I was going to leave the corporate world, I don't know, but I really valued the fact that she allowed me to have that 1 day on a Wednesday midweek break and to do something else. That was really, really brilliant. And I think if more line managers could be open to listening to what their team would like and why, and just giving things a go, that drives up a sense of engagement. So, you know, I guess my closing message would be, line managers, please trust your teams and pilot things, especially so flex, because I think it can go such a long way to driving productivity and engagement.
Oh, it's so lovely to hear that. And also, it's just been fantastic to talk to you. You've got so many great ideas and so much great experience, and obviously, you know, it's really, really fantastic to have you on here. So thank you so much, Jessica.
Thank you so much, Emmy. I think what you are doing is absolutely great, and I didn't give a shout out to another of our clients, Acast, the podcast company. We love podcasts.
Oh good.
Thanks.
Well, so
for
do
having
I
me,
It was great to talk to Jessica about her thoughts on flexible working and setting boundaries. I hope that the Dad B1 form gets some traction, and also fantastic to talk to Jessica about the Comeback Community Group, which is the free resource on Facebook. Jessica is so knowledgeable and such an inspiration, and I'm really happy that I got to chat to her. Thank you for listening to Feel Great Podcast. Do please rate, review and subscribe on whatever platform you're using. And let me know about any future topics you'd like to hear about.
I hope you enjoyed the Feel Great Podcast. Have a wonderful day.